Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning and welcome back.
Thank you. I'm going to name today's client Sky. And this Sky is Skylar, like it's a boy's name, not Sky for a girl. And this client asks at the very beginning of the session if I can just do an open with a twist. He just wants to know how the guides can help him live his life. That's his question. And Sky, I would say, because I can see him over Zoom, I would say he's probably mid-30s. So I asked the guides, I told him I was going to download the file. I'd need a minute or two and then launch into everything for him. And holy moly, Kelly, was there ever a ton about his marriage and his behaviors. So once the file was downloaded, I said to Sky, this is what the guides have told me, that you are divorced and that you have 3 children. And I said, is that accurate? And he goes, yes. And I said, you have 3 boys. And he goes, oh, I do. He said, okay. He goes, I kind of thought you were just guessing. And I said, no. I said, all of the information I want to be spot on, and I'm just repeating and telling you what I get. And I'm looking for validations that every time I ask you a question, the answer is going to be yes, because it's the information that the guides are giving me. And I said, but by all means, whenever the information is incorrect, I fully expect you to correct me, and I need you to, so I know if I have a good connection or not. And he goes, oh, that's a cool system. I like that. He goes, I'm good with that. So he says, so I'll just give you your validations every once in a while. Do I throw them at you? I said, no, I'll pause and I'll ask you. So that's great. Then the guide said to me, he thinks his wife ended the marriage, but he did. Shortly after they got married. And so I told him that. And he goes, no. He goes, that's totally wrong. He goes, my wife did end the marriage. I don't just think it. She did. It's a fact. That's wrong. I said, Sky, can you give me a minute? I'd like to explain what the guides have been saying about how the marriage actually ended. And he goes, okay. He goes, but I know how it ended. I was in it.
No. Half the fucking people don't know how their marriage is ended. They think the person who says, it's over, I'm done, we're not going to make it, is the way or how it ended. And it's like, it ended the minute you started fucking undermining them. Did I ruin the show? Maybe this is why we're only doing shows every 2 weeks. Kelly just fucking ruins the show. It does, though.
Like, did you see the deflation on my face?
I know. Sorry. And I mean, each story is unique in the way that we go about undermining each other, if we want to get really excited about our uniqueness here in our verbal abuse. But like, any therapist would sit here, any researcher would say, like, there's only so many ways that you can end a marriage. And it's going to be through a lack of respect for the other person. Where you're saying, I'm creating disconnect, I'm creating detachment, I'm creating space between us.
Yep. Okay, you've hit the nail on the head.
Thanks, I'm a good life coach.
But I'm going to launch into what happened in his damn session.
I'll sip my coffee.
It's all good. So the guides, of course, are going to come in then and explain to him what he did. So this is what happened. They said at the very beginning, it was just the two of them, meaning that the children came after. So
after the disrespect.
No, the children came with the disrespect.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's the here's the timeline. So when they first got married, he was more engaged. He was more interested in what she was doing. When they talked, he stayed engaged and asked her questions about her day, stuff like that. So at the very beginning, for the first couple of years, actually, I think the guide said they were married 5 or 6 years before they considered having children. And in that period of time, they hung out, they did things together, there was fun together. And he was like, yep, that's all true. So he gave validation for that. And then the guide said that they fell into having children because around that 5-year mark, they started feeling the stress of other people asking them when they were going to have children and got pregnant because they just thought it was about the right time that they had been childless long enough. And they just felt the pressure. They just thought, well, this is what you do. We're supposed to have the kids now. So they bought the house. They did all the things that they thought they were supposed to do in this order.
I want to interject.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, it is really important to emphasize the amount of pressure that people feel.
Yeah.
And the weight of that seed that gets planted, for mm-hmm. sure. Because I don't think people realize that a couple oftentimes doesn't make their own decision. We think they do, but it's the external influence from everyone in our lives and then societal pressure that ultimately often makes that decision for us. And I will also add that it's not just the pressure that makes that decision. It's oftentimes the lack of planning, the lack of future-oriented conversations where a couple is really deciding on what their goals are together that allows them to be influenced in that way. Right? I think couples will often, you know, they're going along with their lives. They're going with the motion of the job and the friends and the coupleness, but they aren't necessarily sitting down and saying, where do you find fulfillment? Where do you find purpose? Is your job enough fulfillment and purpose? Are your hobbies enough for you? Or do you want to find that in fatherhood or motherhood? What does that look like for us if we enter into parenthood together? What kind of common goals do we want in raising a child? We don't take this decision seriously enough. It's something that we think we just have this entitlement or obligation, or worse, both, to do. And we don't actually assess what it all entails and the impact that it's going to have on us as individuals and as a unit.
Oh, perfectly said, Kelly. You said it way better than I did in the session, let me tell you that.
And the thanks. And the pressure becomes the direction that we forget to ask and give ourselves.
Yeah. And then as a result of what happened, this, what you've just described, the second part in particular, is what the guide said to him in how both he and his wife fell into this. However, she did want to have children at some point. He didn't really give any consideration to whether he did or he didn't. He thought it was something that you do and that if you don't, you're a failure. He moved into that, Kelly, more with an attitude of fear of failure, of I'm not really consciously thinking about what I want. I'm avoiding a failure in a marriage. So he saw the pressure as, I need to have a child, I need to have kids, or these people around me that I put merit on what they think are going to think of me as a failure. And I'm avoiding that more than I want children and I'm focusing on how I want to parent, how I want to be a dad. He didn't put any into consideration into that whatsoever. So when the guides brought that up, that's the first time that he sits and looks at me and says, I can agree with that. And he says, and until this moment, I didn't think of it that way.
Well, I think a lot of men, and I've heard from a lot of men who have said they just assume that if you're in a heterosexual relationship and you want to marry a woman, you have to accept the fact that they're going to want children. Okay. And so without considering what they want, which is a really interesting conversation to have, mm-hmm. where a man actually thinks they don't have a say and what they want doesn't matter. They just think, yeah. I have to give this woman a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he proceeded to give 3. Mm-hmm. And then the guide said that during that period of time, he disengaged from his wife in intimacy.
Which is a natural thing that does happen. So, like, you know, not in Sky's defense or anything, but this woman is now, like, she has the sole purpose of keeping this baby alive. And oftentimes, especially if you're breastfeeding, like, you are literally latched onto this kid, or this kid is latched onto you. Like, there isn't a whole lot of physical room or time for intimacy to be created. And her resources are completely depleted, having given everything to rear this kid.
Yeah, and the guide said that he actually started to disengage at the beginning of the first pregnancy when she actually announced that she was pregnant. And he started seeing that she was growing a human. Mm-hmm. And this is when he really got involved in gaming. And so we now move into where the guide starts showing his addiction to gaming and where he eventually gets, and I'm going to hope that I use the right words here because I've not been into something like that, so I don't know, but it's like a headset and then eventually like with goggles on where...
VR? Virtual reality.
Okay, thank you. Where the guides were saying he is tuned out from his wife and eventually the children and is tuned into the game and the people in the headset that you talk to and that you... I don't think he sees those people. I didn't see that. But I know that he can hear them and talk to them. Is that correct about VR then? Mm-hmm. Okay. And that there's such a disconnect that he really dissociates from his family. So his wife literally has to come up and stand right in front of him to get his attention. His kids have to come up right in front of him to get a good night, a kiss, a hug. But it's a kiss and a hug like...
You're in my way.
Yes, like to the side. And then sometimes, and he doesn't realize he's doing it because he's so into the game, but you can even see where he takes one of his kids and his wife and he shoves them like out of the way. Like, I'm looking at this screen, get out of my way. And he gives them head cues, like tips his head to the left, tips his head to the right, like meaning move. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a screen. And as I'm describing to him his body movements with his hands, move this way, move that way, it's get out of my way. I'm disengaging from you. I'm engaged to the TV. I'm engaged with the people in this headset. I'm not listening. I'm not looking. I'm not speaking to you other than what I need. And he sat there and just listened to me as I described this. And the guide said, make sure that you describe this in detail. Because he thinks that because he's in the house, he's engaged.
Yeah.
He thinks because he's in the living room with the kids, while his wife says, I'm going to have a bath, that he's being responsible, that he's being a father, that he's part of his family. And this very clearly had to be broken down for him to explain to him how... being engaged over these devices, because there's two there, right? There's several. There's one in his hand, one on his head, and the TV in front of him. So there'd be at least three devices. The guides are trying to explain how he's engaged with the device and the devices and the program and the other people that he's listening to and speaking to, and that he is disengaged with everybody in the building, meaning his home, and that the children feel the disengagement and his wife feels the disengagement. So when the wife finally makes the decision that he's not here, she's correct. But he argues to friends and family and in the court system that he was present. He says that he was home. But he will never admit to the amount of time that he is not present for anybody. So he tries to say to his parents, to her parents, to his siblings, to her siblings, to his friends, to her friends, to everybody, how present he was because he was in the home. Mm-hmm. And he never for a moment says that I was in the home, but that I was never engaged and that I wasn't there and that I wasn't participating, that I wasn't connecting, that I wasn't listening, that I wasn't responding, that I wasn't creating intimacy or connection to anybody. I wasn't helping with homework. I wasn't doing dishes. He always generalizes his statements to say that he was at home all the time. And that is the inference then that other people will make that, well, he was always there. So what was wrong? So he creates his story very purposefully to make it look like he's present. Therefore, he's connecting, but he does not. And the guides have to point out to him the very big difference. And that's when his wife realizes, I have a body in the house that creates messes. I have a body in the house that gets in my way or that doesn't give me an accurate reality. So I might say to my partner, I'm going to bed early. Or I'm going out for the evening, or I'm going to clean the kitchen, or I'm going to do the laundry, or I'm going to have me time in the bathtub, or I'm going to have a chat with my mom on the phone, or I'm going to do some crafts in my craft room, where she really believes that she now has her own time and goes to do her own things. And then the kids come running in whenever there's a problem because she really truly is the only adult in the house. Because she's the only one listening, the only one speaking, the only one moving, meeting their needs, their wants, their desires, and making a connection to them. And I said, all of that. And he just sits there and looks at me. And he goes, what's this got to do with my future and how I'm going to live my life?
Ugh. Not much, sir. Never mind.
I said to him, I said, oh, good question. Wait. I said, good question, Sky. Let me ask for you. So I asked the guides and they just laugh. So I can hear them laughing and I'm trying to make sure that I'm not changing my face or that I'm not laughing with them. I just said to the guides, okay, where do you want to go with what he's doing? Because I'm not engaging as Karen. I'm just letting the guides handle this. And they said, oh, well, you can tell him then that if he wants to know where to go in his future, he should get off the dating sites. He should get off or stop looking for another partner. Tell him that we know that he's trying to find a partner and that he's just planning to do the very same thing and that he's actually looking for somebody who...
To watch his three kids?
Yes. So he's looking for a woman who has kids. He's more interested in a woman.
Of course.
Yeah.
She's already in the mother role.
Yes.
Of course I'll take care of yours.
That's right. And he's hoping that the families can just blend and that what he's looking for in particular is a woman who will have her children 1 week on, 1 week off, same as him, not 2 days here and 3 days there. And where
is he though? Because I mean, on the weeks that they don't have kids, she'll want his attention.
He hasn't thought that. That becomes part of the session.
That's my point,
but
though.
But the way that, no, wait, Kelly, the way that he sees that week off is where he's actually got like the single girlfriend with no kids, where he's the single guy with no kids, where he actually has that week where it's like, it's just the two of us, where he can get his first 5 years of his marriage back. So he wants the first 5 years back and he thinks that's what the two of them will have in the week with no kids. Then the week with kids will be where I had my marriage, where I'm successful and not a failure, and where she will be able to tolerate and run the whole family, my kids and hers, and where her kids will be playmates to my kids, where they can all play and they won't need me. Or where some of the kids might now be old enough that they will just game with me. So the guides explain this to him.
All listeners just got off dating apps right now.
Oh, God. Well, maybe all listeners would listen to that and go, oh, God, red flags.
Or, oh, God, I'm going to be asking different questions.
Exactly. Yeah, perfectly said, Kelly. Then the guides say we want to talk about him going to visit his sister and brother-in-law and her kids, and that he's been doing this all the way through his marriage, and he's now doing it through the divorce, and he doesn't show up to see his sister and her husband and the kids in the weeks that he's single. He shows up in the weeks that he has the kids, and he shows up a lot. And he shows up in the evenings so that he can game with his brother-in-law at their house, where his sister watches all the kids, and all the kids play together in the evening, and he takes his children home just in time for them to go to bed. And that his sister and her husband have been tolerating this, because at first it was kind of like...
His brother-in-law is enabling it.
Absolutely.
This isn't just tolerating. This is working out for the brother-in-law.
Absolutely.
Until his marriage also ends up in your chair.
Yes. And the guides point out that his sister thinks that he's been this wonderful father and blames his ex-wife for all of the problems in the marriage. And the way that he tells the story is that he was home, he was home with his kids, and these, of course, are all the things that her husband is doing. So she sees nothing wrong, because at least he's home, and he's not out picking up other women.
Well, also, if she had to see something wrong, she'd have to admit her marriage is done as well.
Yes. And so I said to the guides, I said, what were mom and dad like? Like, what the heck was what's going on with these two adults, the brother and sister? And they said, oh, the dad was never home. He was always out picking up other women and drinking.
So here you go. You've got the lowest of low bars.
Yeah.
In the mother and father. And then you have just the slightest raise of a bar. And I'm talking like maybe a millimeter off the ground of a bar or a standard for him to just physically be in the house.
Yes.
So no other expectation than at least my body's in the home. My dad's wasn't. Therefore, I am father of the year.
Yes.
And we're trying to say, or the guides are trying to say, let's take that bar and raise it a whole lot more.
Yes. Exactly.
Or consider women.
So the guides are saying to Skye that his sister now has two husbands, but one is her brother. And she now has, I think it's five kids, because I think she has
seven.
Two. So, pardon?
So seven.
Oh, wait, I see what you just did.
Does she have two husbands or does she have two children?
Right. Yes. Oh, that's a great point that you've made.
This episode will be called Man-Child.
Okay, perfect.
I'm rooting for Skye to get his shit together and wake up.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear about that. Yeah. But like, let's call it what it is.
Yeah. So the guides explain to him why he goes to his sister's, because she's been doing what his wife was doing. His wife woke up and said, I don't want another child. I would rather be single and figure out how to be a single parent on my own. I would rather do this on my own and with my girlfriends and with my guy friends. And society then have one more child where I'm actually screwed up all the time,
mm-hmm.
because there's this false belief that there's an adult in the house when there's a body of an adult in the house, but not the emotional intelligence of one or the mental capacity of one or the logic of one and so on, right? So he goes to the sister's house, and now the guides are explaining to him that she's just at the beginning of seeing where her husband and her brother are two more children. She's just at her very first steps of fatigue, and it is the fatigue and the frustration that are starting to get to her. Because when she looks over and sees her brother and her husband laughing and playing, they look exactly like the children in that same room or in other rooms, laughing and giggling and playing with electronic toys as her kids,
mm-hmm.
and as his kids.
and she's watching her very young children doing it and his older children doing it. And then him and her husband doing it. This is when,
let's just talk body mechanics now. This is when the vagina dries up.
Yes. Right? That's right.
When you are so turned
and
off.
And so it should.
And so it should, right? Like that is gross behavior.
Yeah.
No one who is healthy in their mind wants to have sex with a child.
That's correct.
And so you're now seeing, or she's now putting the pieces together of, my husband and my brother are two adult children.
Yeah.
And okay, there's more disconnect now because we're now closing these gates essentially to intimacy because we are on two completely different planets of what adulting looks like, of what connection looks like.
Yeah. And his sister is starting to see the fighting that started to occur in her brother and ex-sister-in-law's home when her sister-in-law started the waking up of what's going on. And now she's in this place of, oh my God, I picked on my sister-in-law for this and I criticized her for the fighting, for standing up, for fighting for her family, for fighting for a father for her children, for fighting for her husband, and to be with an adult. And she's starting to realize, oh my God, I threw my sister-in-law under the bus.
And we do as women. We attack the woman more often than not, and we give the man the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, and she's starting to see that she protected her brother and that she built him up and said, oh, she doesn't realize how lucky she has it to have you at home. We had a dad that wasn't even in the house. So she enabled her brother. So she's starting to recognize, oh my God, I've enabled him. So I'm part of the problem as to why that marriage didn't last. I gave my brother a place to run to where I enabled all of his behaviors and said, ooh, you be a good little boy, and I'll take care of your kids while you and my husband play. And I'm going to reinforce that my sister-in-law is the one that's mean. And I bet you she's found another guy. And I bet you watch, she's going to take your money. You make sure. And so she's starting to realize, oh my God, I have to start finding out where my money is so that my husband doesn't do what my brother did to my sister-in-law. She's starting.
And I mean, let's be real. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, go after the money. If you are the parent who is looking after three fucking children,
yep,
you're going to need every goddamn cent. If he's only ever looking out for himself,
yes,
why wouldn't you go after the money, yes, to give your children all the resources that they need when you know he is not going to?
That's right. And so now his sister is just at this beginning stage of recognizing everything. Like, I'll just call it all of the truths. Mm-hmm. But her deepest truths as well as to how she has behaved towards another woman who actually was getting healthy and how she totally sabotaged her sister's attempts to be healthy and did the exact opposite. She teamed up with her brother to make it harder on her. So the spirit guides say, we want you to tell him all of this. And I'm like, okay, no problem. He wants to know about his future. Here it is. So I told him, I said all of that. And I said, eventually, I said, you are going to lose your sister and she's going to go through the same thing that you're going through. And you're going to coach your brother-in-law and you're going to take your brother-in-law's side and you're going to lose your relationship with your sister and you're not going to be there for her as she goes through this, and you're going to be an uncle that teaches those children to be immature adults. And I said, and what the guides want you to know is that you have the opportunity now to actually do better. So your future could be that you actually start taking a look at your honest behavior as to what you did to destroy your own marriage, and to refuse to adult and individuate from your own parents, and where you need to become an adult now. And he just sat there and looked at me. And honest to God, Kelly, I really thought from the way he had behaved during the whole session that it was like, okay, and goodbye, dude. You know, I'll never see you again. See you later. And he just looked at me and he went, I'm my dad. Except that I just stayed in the house, but I left. He goes, I'm my dad. And I said, yes, Sky. I said, you're your father, but you think you're better than your father. Your father left and dissociated. And I said, but you're staying and dissociating. And he went, oh my God. He goes, you just said the dissociation word. And I said, yes. Why? And he goes, my wife said that was my problem. He said, my wife went to therapy, came back and started using this language. And I refused to learn the language because it was blaming her that she was destroying the family with it. And he said, but you're basically telling me that I'm the problem. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know what happened. In the way that the guides explained all of this in this session, but he was willing to sit there and actually listen to it.
Yeah. So I'll speak to that. When you have someone, and I'm not giving him a ton of credit for his self-awareness, let's just be clear about this, but when he has enough awareness about the wound that his father created for him and his sister, we as children grow up very much focusing on, I will not be like this parent. And when you focus on what you don't want to be, you become more of it, right? Because what you give your attention to grows. And so even though the bar got raised by a millimeter, he's still focusing on, I will not be my father. And in that process, he becomes his father, mm-hmm. right? We're not looking at, what do I want to become? How do I want to be better? Mm-hmm. We're just looking at the thing we don't want to be until we become it, mm-hmm. right? So with the awareness where he might be thinking, well, I'm better than my father, I'm better than my father, I'm better than my father, and repeating that to himself day in and day out, when someone in our life gives us that shake, like you did, to say, you have become your dad, when it's the very thing he's been focusing on not doing, that's enough for us to sometimes go, holy fuck.
Well, he had that moment.
Versus, and I'm just going to kind of create the contrast here, because some people won't wake up, right? Some people will live in so much denial of, yeah, my dad wasn't around, but it didn't really affect me. And so they don't give their dad much thought, or they don't give that parent much thought, right? They don't, they're in denial of the wound that it has created. So they're not fixated on not becoming that. They're just in denial of the wound, right?
Yes.
So you could point out everything you just did for Sky, and it's not enough to wake them up, because they won't acknowledge the wound itself.
Perfect. Thank you. So he and his sister had acknowledged the wound enough that's his entrance into this.
Yeah, it's enough of a scare or an insult or whatever you want to call it to go, oh my God, I'm the problem.
Mm-hmm. And then we had a chat for a second, not long, but he just said to me, my sister is my mother.
Right.
Naturally. And he goes, my wife was my mom. And he says, because my mom left my dad. And he said, and now he says, this is just all gross.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Sky.
Yep.
Welcome to the planet of connection.
Yeah. And I said, Sky, the whole thing that we're talking about today is that all of these women were looking for connection. Your mom, your ex-wife, and your sister. They're looking to connect. And I said, and what you got modeled for you in your dad and in your brother-in-law, and what you've been doing, and what all of these men then have been giving to all of these children, is disconnection. And all your next generation, all of these kids, are learning is that women want connection, men want disconnection. Get married, get divorced. Repeat cycle. And I said, so what you were doing before our session started was you were going on all of these sites looking for a woman who was just going to fit the same role as these three women. That's what you were doing. And that's where the guys were coming in and saying, yeah, you asked us at the beginning of the session where your future was going, and it was going straight into your past, and you were repeating all of your cycles. And that was the reason that when you said go to the future, we had to go to your past. And that's why we gave it to you. You got annoyed until we had to point out to you that the past was just going to repeat itself until you looked at yourself.
Love this.
Mm-hmm. And so at the end of that session, Sky says to me, okay, I know exactly what I need to do. He says, after this phone call, he says, I have to call my ex-wife. That's not what I thought he was going to say, by the way.
I would have said therapist.
That's okay. What I thought he was going to say was therapist. He said, I have to call my ex-wife. And I said, okay, and I told him that. I said, that's not what I saw coming. And he goes, oh, I know what you saw coming. He says, that's my second call. He goes, my first call is to call my ex-wife and apologize. He said, I have to talk to her about my dad. He says, I have to talk to her about my parents. He says, I have to ask her for a cup of coffee where I sit down and I put some awareness here to the fact that I tried not to become my dad. And that's exactly what I did. And that's exactly what she told me, that if I ever became my father, she'd leave me. And she kept her word. And he said, I want to point out that all she did was keep her word.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I need to call her right away. He says, and then I need to tell her that I'm calling a therapist. And he says, and for sure, my first thought was that I was going to ask her for the name of a good therapist. And he says, and then I've come to realize I can't ask her to do that. I have to find my own. He says, I can't ask my wife to do it for me. I have to figure out and ask my own friends or look it up on the internet. I have to find a therapist, and I'm the one that has to go, and I have to begin by talking about my mom and dad and their relationship and my desire not to be my father and the fact that I became my father and that my sister's going through the same thing. And he says, and my third phone call is that I have to call my sister. He says, and I have to tell her that I'm not coming over anymore in these same patterns that I used to. And I have to tell my brother-in-law, no more gaming. He says, I cannot go over to my brother-in-law's and sit on the device unless all the kids' needs are taken care of and our partners. And he says, like, all of that has got to change. He says, I absolutely cannot. He says, because of the amount of hatred I feel for my father. He says, I will use that hatred to motivate me.
That, cool.
Yeah. And that brought us to the end of the session.
Well, on behalf of women everywhere, thank you, Karen.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to the guides and the connection that you consistently create. I know we really hammer home clarity, direction, and relief, right? Mm-hmm. Like those are the three pillars that the guides are constantly offering in these sessions. And I'm going to do it again today because clearly, the irony of my words are just hitting me, but clearly, like, this guy was lost.
Yeah.
So to provide clarity on the past and the future and that cycle being one and the same is huge. To let him know that the direction going forward doesn't have to be into the past is incredible and that he has control over that, right? Like, healthy control over that. And then the relief that he would feel knowing I can put one foot in front of the other in a different direction. Like, you've changed a man-child's life, mm-hmm. who has the opportunity to become a man.
Mm-hmm.
You've changed the ex-wife's life, right? You've changed a sister, potentially a brother-in-law, and all of those kids and generations.
Yeah.
Which is why, even though a lot of us are tired, so tired, that's why we do the work.
Yep.
So thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.